Do you have any advice to first years?
I would say that if you don't need super good marks for funding purposes, or you're not planning on going to a company that considers your marks, I would say spend like much less time on university.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the Throf Talks Tech Podcast, where I, Throf, talk about the tech and nothing else but the tech. This is where I try to teach, reach, and preach to people with the same tech mindset, where we wonder why apples charge and call the apple juice. Sounds interesting? Of course it is. Ach! Today on the Throf Talks Tech Podcast, we have Snap Menu. Yes, sir, I, Throf, talk tech with Snap Menu. And without wasting any time, let me introduce my guests. Yes, it's plural. Shai and Gabriel, please make me proud and introduce yourselves.
Hey, thanks for having us, man. Yeah, I'm Shai. I'm one of the co-founders of Snap Menu, and I also run a company called Data Agency.
Yeah, and thanks so much for having us on. I'm Gabriel, and I'm also one of the co-founders of Snap Menu, and I also have an agency called Next Step Digital.
Okay, so we're working with directors here and founders, which is very exciting. So how did you meet? Were you like students, same class?
It's quite a funny story, actually. Yeah. So I think I told it last time. I think
yeah. Sweet. Yeah, so basically Gabe and I, we went to school together, actually high school. And then we reconnected when we figured out we were in the same space. And before we were in the same space, actually. Gabe reached out because he was starting up this agency and he was looking for some people to get involved, and at the exact same time I was starting up an agency, so that was our first interaction in like the business context. And then we just were always chatting about issues we were both facing and bouncing ideas and everything. And then I actually moved into his office and we were working from Jason, sort of competing for leads in rooms next to each other.
It's a good time. We always enjoyed working together and just being in the same space and collaborating. We just, you know, it's always good to be around like-minded individuals, I think. So, you know, we've always wanted to work together. So Snap Menu was just an excuse for us to, you know, finally do that.
Yo, that's a really great story. Like, there's nothing better than working with someone you actually know, or a friend, or someone who you've mentioned, you share the same values and same mindset. So was the hackathon where you got the idea, or did you initially have it before and the hackathon just gave you a platform and an excuse to actually try and execute it and make it come to life?
Yeah, so I think we'd sort of spoken about the idea beforehand, and then the hackathon, really, we're like, okay, you know, this is the time now. And like, Shai will probably roll his eyes because I say this all the time, but there's a venture capital firm that I like to follow called Entree Capital. And one of the big things the VCs say is, you know, the thing that they're very interested in when they fund a startup is why now, you know. Why is the startup happening now? Why couldn't it have happened 5 years ago? And why not 5 years in the future? And I think although, you know, COVID, it wasn't it's not only COVID related, it definitely gave restaurants, especially here in South Africa, the needed boost to start looking for alternative technology solutions. And we're like, you know, now. that's why now. So let's do it now. Don't know if that helps.
Yeah, there's no time like now. Like, I actually went through the site and to check. Okay, you'll further explain what it is, but I went through the site and I have to say I'm impressed. Like, overly, the idea and concept is there, and I hope it's being implemented.
Thanks, man. I'll just give a quick explanation of what the product is and what problem we're solving for. Basically, we made a mobile menu that lets restaurant customers order and pay for food when they're actually sitting in the restaurant. So kind of picture Uber Eats, but you're sitting in the restaurant. And that's really exciting because of the contactless stuff that Gabe was speaking about, and a bunch of customer experience reasons, like you don't have to wait for your waitron and stuff. But our biggest value proposition is that we can actually optimize the restaurant's conversions. So we can actually put the most profitable items at the top of the menu. And we're working on some exciting algorithms that are just going to push the most profitable items to their customers and increase the average order value.
Okay. So like if I had a business, so instead of having a please wait to be seated sign, I could have that Snap Menu QR code, I believe. And then they could scan that instead of waiting to be seated.
Absolutely.
So it's a time saver and I don't have to communicate with people.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I think the space we're operating in is very, it's communication focused and people love chatting to their waitrons and stuff. So we definitely don't want to get rid of the communication. But what we want to do is just eliminate all the items. So instead of, you know, having a back and forth and your waitron writing stuff down or forgetting stuff, we just have all the admin happen through our web app, and then good conversations can happen between the customer and the waitron.
Perfect. So it's time to get into the meat of this. The name of the podcast is Throth Talks Tech. So do you mind sharing out the technologies that you use to create the site, like the frameworks, languages?
Yeah, for sure. So we entered the hackathon with like speed of development being the highest priority, right? Because it's like a 120-hour hackathon. So we went with Ruby on Rails as that, because there's a lot of cool stuff around authentication. And if you want to get like a CRUD app, like a create read, if you just want to get like a basic app, then Ruby on Rails is like a really quick way to do that because of all the built-in stuff. We all use React for most of the other projects we do. So we've been slowly leaning towards React. So we first just moved to React on Rails, which led us to faces. But still very much having like ecosystem. And now we've moved over to Next.js, which, yeah, so we can have our React day, but also still using the Rails backend.
Okay, very interesting. So learning these frameworks, languages, very difficult? And are they taught at school level? Or is that something you'll have to do when you're putting in that extra 5%?
Yeah, I think, I'm very passionate about the things that universities and schools don't teach you. And it's definitely not something you know, I don't think you're taught really software development at most schools, like whether you're doing IT matric, I don't think you're really truly taught like, you know, what it takes to build, software that actual users will use. I think with Ruby, really only Max, our other co-founder, who we actually haven't mentioned yet, he's had the most experience with it. But I think one of the reasons he was confident to use it, that the learning curve was enough for Shai and myself to hop on the bandwagon. And with the ability, you know, as Shai said, that we have experience with React and with the ability to do React on Rails, it really wasn't too much of a learning curve for us. But that being said, you know, tying back to the question, you know, you're not even learned to React. And I think it's, I could be correct if I'm wrong, but I think React's the most widely used JS framework. So, I mean, you're not even taught that at university, which is quite crazy.
So would you ask as university students to start going at it now or start with what they teach?
Yeah, you should have started 5 years ago.
just to add to what Gabe was saying, I think like people really like to separate like phases of their life. So they like to say like, cool, I'm learning, I'm doing matric now. So I've got to do matric stuff. And then cool, I'm doing first year, I've got to do first year stuff. And I was always like that and always sort of putting stuff off for the next phase. And like, I'm not going to start a business now. I'm going to get 3 years work experience at a cool company, then go start a business. And I'm not going to learn web stuff now, I'll learn that at my first internship or whatever. And basically my like biggest takeaway from the past like year or two of like just doing like building some stuff is just to not put stuff off and not separate stuff as much as you might want to. And like if you're thinking about doing web stuff, like go into the React docs like right now and just make a little app and you'll be just demystify stuff as soon as possible, I think.
Okay, then I guess I'm on the correct path because I'm actually busy with Django and playing with that. But as you mentioned, React, I'll definitely check into that too. The learning curve is quite crazy, but once you get a hang of it, the possibilities are endless.
Sorry, I mean, I know you probably should be asking the questions, but are you currently in university?
Yeah, I'm currently first year at university here in Cape Town.
Oh, so you're in first year. Wow, amazing.
Yeah, I'm in first year.
Okay, cool. And what are you doing? Computer science, and what other major?
Yeah, I'm doing computer science, and from next year I'll start majoring in computer engineering as well. So it's kind of computer in and out.
Oh, awesome, man. What are you looking to do, Shai? Should we do some recruitment here? Do you have any idea of like where you're leaning towards, just out of interest, like in the next few years, or what you want to do after uni, or yeah?
Okay, I won't lie. At first, I wanted to do mechatronics. The idea of being able to make robots, robotics, play with them was, yeah, it still is a thing I want to do. But instead, I got, unfortunately, that message. And then I had to pick another major, which was science department. I joined in and actually looked into computer science. I actually saw that, yeah, this is quite interesting and it's something I want to follow. So the plan now... Okay, I know it's a bit cliche to join FANG, but yeah, something along those lines. Maybe start a startup like you guys.
No, I think that's great.
Yeah.
That's awesome, dude. No, I think, you know, if you're in the tech ecosystem, like it seems like it's quite cliche to say, you know, I want to join a FANG company. But the truth is there aren't that many people who do it in South Africa here, people that don't have that ambition as much as, you know, like when you're watching all the Silicon Valley shows and everything, it seems like everyone's doing it. Yeah. I personally don't know that many people who, I mean, I know like a handful, but I don't know that many people who have, you know, gone from the University of Cape Town to work for a FANG company. Shai, I don't know if you do.
Yeah, I mean, there's like the few sort of people who end up at AWS. Locally. But I think, yeah, I mean, I think just generally South Africa is pretty untapped in terms of like tech talent at these big international companies.
Yeah, but I think the thing is to actually approach them. Like, but as I've started exploring societies, the university societies, like the developers society, I see that AWS is quite a bit often there. So I think it's a really good thing to join these societies from an early start.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, I really think, you know, you're in first year. I think the best thing you can do is try and expose yourself to as many, verticals as possible. Like maybe you want to be a software engineer. Maybe you want to be a front-end developer. Maybe you want to be, a back-end engineer. I mean, like, you know, I'm sorry, when I say software engineer, I just mean like more into the algorithmic and kind of computer science route than, you know, as in like a front end where you're focused more on like, you know, the user facing and stuff and etc. So maybe you want to do AI, who knows? But I think it's important just to like expose yourself. And as Shai said, you know, do a little project just so you get a taste of it. And like maybe you love doing front end stuff and you hate like, you know, the more the back end tasks, setting up the server, and et cetera. But I think it's just you got to expose yourself to it before you know whether you like it or not. You know?
Definitely take that into account and add it to my to do list.
Anything, bro.
Shai's an open book.
I'm an open book.
Yeah. Okay. Do you recommend doing those, the traditional study, all the interview questions? Then lead code.
I thought you were going to ask me to do FizzBuzz like, over the podcast.
Are you may.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, like I don't hire that way personally, but I also haven't scaled up to hiring, you know, like 30 developers a week or a month or whatever. So I don't need it all that process. But yeah, I mean, if you're going for FANG, probably, you know, there's like lead code. Style questions are going to be important. But for me personally, hiring people, it's like, are you a good person? Can I have a good chat with you? And are you very dedicated to learning stuff? And then it's also, if you know, if you can have like practical skills, that's much more attractive to me. So if I meet with a candidate, I'm like, hey, I want to hire you for a React role. I've got a React. I've got a nice design for you. Can you replicate it? Can you implement it in React? and they can do that as part of like a take-home challenge,
exactly.
That's much more, that gives me much more confidence that they're going to be able to do the job.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Shai and I are both at like similar stages in our company. And basically what we look for is, you know, it's unfortunate that we are at this stage. Like, I wish we could just hire more juniors. And, you know, and I think it's also, it's more important, those type of, you know, questions and tasks are more important for juniors than for, at least for me, than like a mid-level to see. The reason why we go for those guys is that we need someone who can hit the ground running. You know, so the big banks and the big companies that hire juniors, they have the bankroll to you know, bankroll junior devs to, because you're not taught what you need to know at university. Like, this is what we were chatting about, right? Like, you're not taught what you need to know to the company at university, and it takes like 3 to 6 months for these devs to like really like you know, jump this learning curve to actually being valuable to these companies. So Shai and I need someone who, you know, doesn't need to jump this learning curve, but can actually hit the ground running and, you know, build these projects. And I do the similar thing. So for me, for devs, what I'll do is I'll give them a previous project that we've worked on, and I expect them to build some element of it, host it and everything, and take me through it. And that's how I trust the person, you know?
Okay, so I should start working on portfolio and then start building projects. I'll focus on the 100%. Algorithms in school.
Yeah, dude, absolutely, definitely projects. And then also just very much reading, like staying up to date with like cutting edge stuff. So like read like tech news. And I think, I'm sure you already do that because you're in the content space. But like a big thing is if I chat to someone and they tell me something that I don't know, like, oh, I see you use this. Have you heard of this? Or this just got released, or, you know, this version just got released. And I'm like, wow, that's a bit of a game changer. That's like a really good, like a huge green flag.
Yeah, like Apple and the M1 chips and ditching Intel and all that.
Yeah. Just a question. Are most of your listeners developers or just like tech entrepreneurs or just entrepreneurs? Like, what do you think the makeup of the audience is going to be?
The focus is to focus on programmers specifically, like people who are actually interested in the tech space.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so like for everything, there's a bad and a good side. So what are the discouraging thing about being a software engineer and that? Yeah.
I'll go for this. So I think the main thing for me is that, and it's not specifically just like a job in general, I think it's like you aren't necessarily going to have the opportunity to pursue what you find interesting. So there's going to be a ticket assigned to you and you have to do it to earn your salary. And that might be perfect for you, especially if you love what you're doing. But there are going to be days where you want to build this idea, you want to learn this other technology, and you're not going to be able to do that if you're a full-time developer, which is why I think freelance stuff and sort of the gig economy is just going to get more and more popular because people want that freedom.
Yeah, to do things that you want to do, exactly.
Okay, so do you have any freelance sites you want to recommend? Freelancer?
Oh, yes. So there's basically this platform. It's actually not really specific to programmers, but there's a platform called Project CUDA. It's actually my cousin's startup, and it's basically a way to book a session with like an industry leading expert. And I mean, there are some tech people, like a former head of application security at Jumo, so cybersecurity expert. And he's now doing like freelance consultancy on this platform, which I think is quite cool. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, yeah, the usual like Upwork.
Yeah, like how do you get seen?
I wouldn't suggest really Freelancer and Fiverr as the way to go to get freelance jobs. It's super, super difficult to stand out on those platforms these days. And, you know, there's almost a new form of SEO just to figure out how to stand out from the rest on those platforms. So the way that I would really suggest doing it is selecting a technology that you want to work with. So, you know, maybe you're a WordPress developer and you use a specific, you know, maybe you use Elementor, which is a page builder. You join the Elementor community and you'll see that there are so many people there that are give jobs for Elementor specific developers. And that's the way you, you know, for me at least, source leads effectively is by
by joining those communities and being leads that way.
As Shai said, like, your first instinct is to go to freelancer platforms and you're like, oh, okay, great, yeah, I'm just going to get work, people are going to approach me. But like, really, you know, it's that same concept, right? That, you know, just like Shai and I want to look for people that are proven, so are the people that go to freelancers. They don't want to just trust anyone. They want someone who had reviews, has a 5-star rating, and has done 30 projects already. And when you start, you're just not going to be that person, and you just get buried in a pile of more experienced people on that platform. And like, just, you know, just to say, like, you could be an extremely experienced developer. You could have like worked on all of these projects, but if you've never built a project on, you know, this platform, you're still not going to stick out. So it might be the first place you go, but really, you know, as I said, joining these like community groups is in my opinion the best way to source solid leads and you know, more reliable income as a freelancer.
Okay, noted. So in a nutshell, do your own projects, and that will encourage, and you'll find people there with the same mental or like-mindedness, and you will survive.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's just a bit of an anecdote, but, you know, I was in one of these groups, and he basically gave me one of his leads. He's in that capacity, and he said, hey, you know, I've got this guy, he wants to make a website. Do you want to do it? And I was like, oh, that's so kind. Like, what can I pay you as a referral fee? Because, you know, it's generally quite customary to, you know, pay someone a referral fee. Mm-hmm. And he was like, no, don't worry about it. I just want to, you know, help this guy out and help you out. You know, and then next time, if you're at capacity, I'm sure you'll swing one my way. And it's so rare to find something like that.
Okay. What about the mindset of, okay, there's a business around the corner, they don't have a website, then you sit in your home, code the website, do everything, you approach them, pitch it to them. Do you suggest that mindset, or is it a waste of time, in your opinion?
I really like that approach, and like, that's like how I started. I literally, like, when Max and I decided to start an agency, at lunch, we like left lunch and went to the, you know, like the shitty restaurant next door that didn't have a website. And we're like, hey, want to build your website? The biggest issue there is, again, the credibility. So people don't trust people who approach them. But I think like that approach of like building or designing stuff for people and then saying, hey, I've already done this for you, do you want to pay me for it? I think is a good way to maybe get a project. I think make a loss on your first project, like literally give it away. Like, I think our first, yeah, I mean, we've done, like, when we were starting out, we did a project that, like, we just made such loss in terms of our time, but then that person introduced us to someone else, and then we got a referral from that person. It's really just about, like, word of mouth and networks. I think, I mean, especially if you're learning, just go and say, hey, can I learn while I'm building your site for free, or while I'm building your site for 5,000 rand, and then sort of take it from there.
Oh, plus you would have accumulated the knowledge you gained and how to solve the problems you stumble across. So yeah, it's a win-win situation.
Exactly, man. And I think most people really, like, if you're genuine and if you genuinely go to them and say, hey, I want to co-create this, I want to hear what kinds of things you want to communicate on your website and all that, I think they would definitely be open to that. And as long as it's not too salesy, I think if you go to like 50 probably make a sale.
Okay, noted. Well, thank you very much. I really learned a lot. I think, okay, do you have any advice to first years?
I would say that if you don't need super good marks for funding purposes, or you're not planning on going to a company that considers your marks, I would say spend like much less time on university. Just figure out exactly how much time you need to put in to get as much value. Like, you need to find that, you need to optimize for, you know, time investment and getting value out of it. A lot of people just, you know, default to putting in a lot of time, but there's definitely a sweet spot where you still get the value, you still learn, but you have time to do other stuff.
Perfect. Music to my ears. The last question, PS5 or Xbox Series?
Xbox for me, thank you.
Yeah.
I'll use Gabe's Xbox. I'm not a...
Manuel, thank you so much for having us on, and I hope you have an amazing weekend, and I wish you all the success with your podcast, and so you'll smash it. I really, really enjoyed being on, so thank you.
Thank you very much. The pleasure is mine. And thank you for respecting me despite me being young and all that. Yeah.
I respect you more because you are young.
Yeah. Thank you very much. So have a nice day.
Sweet man.
Cheers.
Cheers. Bye.